What's up, everybody? Just want to let you know that By the Hood is powered by MDC Strategy. So Corey and I have partnered with several other educators and investors to create MDC Strategy. Just want to let you know this is not a get-rich-quick scheme or a fake internet guru selling you dreams of wealth. This is a community of educators and investors who believe in the power of community and shared ideas. We share information about real estate, long-term stock investing, precious metals, options trading, cryptocurrency, and much, much more. To get more information, go to mdcstrategy.com.
If I have a gallon of milk and I want to break it down in ounces, I still have a gallon of milk. If I have Bitcoin, I want to break it down into Satoshis, I still have the same amount of Bitcoin. So scarcity is there. The basement, all those things still exist. So just understand, if you're listening to this or watching this, we're still early. When people have thoughts like this and don't get some very, to me, common knowledge and, well, math. What's up, family? Welcome to episode 10 of Stack Sats or Die Trying. My name is Jimmy, the host as always. And this is our, you know, show dedicated to Bitcoin, brought to you by the Hood. It's an opportunity for me to give my two sats and talk about everything going on in the world of Bitcoin. Do a little bit of education, you know, sometimes we're just going to talk about what's going on in the news of Bitcoin and to give my perspective overall about Bitcoin. Shout out to all the supporters, everyone who appreciates the show, watches every episode, gives great feedback. I appreciate all the comments and also all the ideas about future shows. Some of those things I am working on, but those episodes may take a little bit longer to craft because specifically things about cold storage and things like that, because I want to make sure I take time, get the actual devices that I'm talking about and put them within the video. But today we have another episode. This is episode 10. You know, things are moving fast. This episode I'm calling Changing Your Opinion, right? And I got this idea of this episode through a couple things. For those that may have missed the last Just By the Hood, our regular podcast, our Wednesday show, I had a whole conversation about being a landlord. Who wants to be a landlord? That's our personal finance show. So take a look at that. It came out this past Wednesday. It's our most recent episode. I think it's episode 240. But I was having conversations after that episode and got into a conversation on Twitter about real estate Bitcoin. And I just want to share some of the thoughts that I saw and the idea of changing your opinion. And this is related to Bitcoin, but it could be related to anything in life, right? As you get more information, sometimes you can have an opinion and feel one way and honestly completely feel that that is the right way, the right path, the right purpose, the right way if something works. But then you get more information and it could change your viewpoint. The greatest TV show ever is a TV show called The Wire, right? And this one scene in particular, it always stands out to me. With Slim Charles. Slim Charles is talking to Avon Barksdale in there. I call this the Slim Charles theory, by the way. I wrote about this and I call it the Slim Charles theory. In that part of the show, he tells Avon, like, look, sometimes if it's a lie, you got to fight on that lie. And what he's saying is, if I get more information that something is wrong because I've committed to something else, I'm sticking to what I committed with. I see this all the time in politics. I see this all the time in music debates, sports debates. People have been so steadfast and so they've been standing on, you know, as they say now, standing on business with one side of an opinion that they refuse to even have open up to the idea that they could have been wrong. And I see this a lot as it pertains to specific ways to operate within personal finance and even accepting Bitcoin for what it is. So a lot of my real estate guys believe that real estate's the only way to build wealth. Out of my stock guys, we the stocks only want to build wealth. Then you get within the stock thing, people who believe that got to trade options. Some people believe they don't even open themselves up to trading options. Some people believe you should do nothing but buy ETFs, nothing but the S&P 500. So there's a lot of things where people are just fighting on a lie and not really open to anything else. So with that being said, let's get into the presentation so I can, you know, give you guys a little bit more of what I'm thinking as I come up with this idea, right? So episode 10, Stack Sats or Die Trying, Changing Your Opinion. Shout out to all of the audio listeners. I will make sure that I do my best to convey the messages that are coming across in this PowerPoint presentation, Right now, we're just on the cover of the episode, you know, Stacks Had to Die Trying, episode 10, Changing Your Opinion. As always, understand that this is not investment advice. I am not your fiduciary. This is for educational, informational purposes only. I'm not telling you to buy Bitcoin or anything else for that matter. Keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, the first thing is a tweet. I was in this conversation on Twitter. This lady, her name is Lindsay Stamp. It is at Lindsay Says Stamp 3. Lindsay Stamp at Lindsay Stamp 3. So it's at Lindsay Stamp 3, and her name is spelled LindsaySTAMP, the number 3. That's her at name, at LindsaySTAMP. So it's not Lindsay Say, it's Lindsay Stamp 3, and her name is Lindsay Stamp. And just a little context on this. Lindsay is someone who is from out of Pittsburgh, who is a real estate investor who now invests in Bitcoin. And she says that it's okay to change your opinion on things when you receive new information. In fact, if you aren't changing your mind about things over time, I'd argue you aren't growing. The way I think now compared to a year, even 6 months ago, is different. And that's how it should be. You know, I like your statement. So that's how I ended up getting the conversation, because I believe this. I've often said, I admire Al-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, because his book was one of the books was pivotal to my maturation. And one of the biggest takeaways I took from the autobiography of Malcolm X, and I know a lot of my folks will say, you know, they'll get into the Alex Haley conspiracies about whether it was Malcolm's words. That's not what I'm saying. The idea of the book, though, when I read it as a young man, the one thing that stuck out to me was, man, this dude was like militant. He believed in whatever he was doing. He was giving it 100%. But there were several times throughout his life where he got new information and he processed that information and was an independent thinker and decided, OK, maybe I was wrong to move this way. To me, it takes a certain level of courage to do that. And I know a lot of people don't have the courage to do that, to get new information and just look at people directly in their eyes and say, I was wrong. So Lindsay's post resonated with me because of, that's always in the back of my mind, right? Am I stubborn to information? Am I willing to look at new information? I know a lot of you guys will say, well, if that's the case, why do you feel the way about shitcoins that you do? I'm just not focused on them. Again, I believe in freedom. If you want to chase shitcoins, that's fine with me. So I'm not like, you know, disregarding them or thinking that there's not a better way. I just don't have time to focus on them because I want to study what I believe to have value. It's a difference between just, disregarding something or just not like really focusing your time on it, right? There are a lot of people who make tons of money in the bond markets, who learn how to trade bonds and operate in the bond space. It's not of interest to me, right? So it is what it is. And the thing about being a Bitcoiner, and embracing it and really starting to study it and go deep down the rabbit hole, you recognize it's not really time for other stuff because there's so many things to learn about Bitcoin. And sometimes when you, you get like me, you may feel it this way. So for those listening to the audio, this part of the presentation is a meme where it's a gentleman standing in front of thousands of other people. And he's looking at them and is saying, yes, you were all wrong. I felt this way several times. I've been in several spaces, including this past week. I was traveling and I was at a tech conference in Charlotte. And at one of the breakout sessions, just like, you know, around the bar, talking to a lot of folks who work in the space all across the country. In fact, the gentleman I was talking to, this whole group rather, weren't even from America. They were from Canada, I believe. So they were from North America, but that's another story. But anyway, they're from Canada, and they were asking me questions about Bitcoin's intrinsic value. And it was a good conversation. They were listening to me, but I literally stood in front of a room full of people and said, "No, you were all wrong." And sometimes it feels that way, but it's okay. It's okay, right? What we're talking about now is getting information and learning to make decisions. And what I realized then in having that conversation, some of the answers I were giving to their questions were the first time they were hearing it, and I could see them in real time processing it. But a lot of times on the other side, people have been taught about intrinsic value, about what gives something value, about the stock market and or real estate, that they don't have the ability to take in new information and feel like there may be something else that has value. I understand that. So with me understanding that, it's why I no longer argue with getting debates, right? I will get, if people ask me questions, I will answer the questions respectfully. But I don't go back and forth and engage in spirited debates like I once did. I just say, you're wrong. You know what I mean? And it's okay. Listen, everything's okay, man. Life is beautiful right now, man. So anyway, with that being said, getting back to more of Lindsay's thoughts, and this episode is not about Lindsay, but it was an interesting tweet thread that she had. So someone asked her about her changing her mind on Bitcoin, and what is her hypothesis? Why? Why has she become a Bitcoiner when she was in the process of building a real estate portfolio? She says, for those interested in my Bitcoin hypothesis, here it is. The value of a dollar will go down forever. The government will never and can never stop printing money. Wealthy people know that if they hold on to dollars, their wealth will erode because the supply of USD is constantly increasing. So they buy assets instead, and historically, real estate has been a great asset for them to store their money. Bitcoin has a finite supply. There will only ever be 21 million. She says, supply and demand tells me that as demand for BTC grows while supply stays the same or decreases with the halving, the price of BTC will go up. A lot of people will realize that they can either store their money in real estate and deal with debt, tenants, property taxes, insurance costs, maintenance, etc. Or they can store their money in BTC, which for the last 10 years has done incredibly well. And they won't have to deal with the things listed above. She says, when I enter retirement and I need to pay bills with my investments, I'll sell off a portion of my BTC periodically the same way I will my stocks at the 4% rule. I can understand how this viewpoint may be unpopular. It was for me too, until I really dug into Bitcoin and challenged my own beliefs. And now here I am, buying stocks in BTC weekly, holding my real estate portfolio, but hesitant to add more to it. So I resonated with this because that's kind of the space that I'm in now. The current portfolio I have in real estate, I'm actually thinking about selling some of them off, but it's going to be difficult for me to add to it unless, and I do say unless, because if you got a deal out there for me, let me know. Some deals I will not be able to turn away from where I can add value. But as I said in previous episodes, I think that, and I think I said this in the last episode I did on our regular show about real estate, I'm just thinking about how I can add value to my community with real estate. So maybe it's about not necessarily doing the buy and hold approach and being a landlord, but adding value to a dilapidated structure and making sure to make others become owners of property. So really focusing on kind of putting people in the ownership seat. Obviously, it could be beneficial for me as well. But anyway, so I kind of resonated with what she said about the 4% rule, because people talk about that with stocks all the time. When she talked about like tenants, toilets, and taxes, the three T's, and she also put in, you know, maintenance and insurance, which is a real thing. My insurance policy for every single building I own has went up over the last, say, 5 years. So that's a real thing that you have to worry about. Taxes have also increased. So it's just the idea of now she got more information and was able to look at this a different way. So, you know, I challenge you guys, and I'm not talking about Bitcoin specifically. That Bitcoin is what prompted this conversation, but just in life in general. Always be willing to take in new information. And sometimes you can have a paradigm shift where what you thought and you stood firm on in the past, you may no longer feel that way. And it's okay. It's okay. Because again, we have the best computers in the world, which are called our brains. We have to learn to be independent thinkers. I think a lot of times that, I don't want to go off on a tirade about the education system, but in my opinion, a lot of times we teach people how to pass tests, and it's not about learning to think for themselves and get new information, process information, and then make a decision on, you know, based upon the information they have. Anyway, I don't want to go off on that tirade about the education system, because this is supposed to be a short podcast on Monday. But anyway, man, let's get into the next part, right? Samantha LaDuke, I saw this on Twitter. And what I found funny about this is the fact that people often come to me and they say, I hear you about Bitcoin. Everything you're saying makes sense, but I'm too late. And I'm like, you're not too late. We're still early, right? So Samantha LaDuke is an actual, she's a contributor to a lot of big organizations. Bloomberg, CNBC, Yahoo Finance, some of the biggest names in finance. And she put out this tweet. She says, interesting, serious question then. If one Bitcoin is sold in units of sats, and there are over 2 quadrillion of those, how can they claim scarcity, lack of dilution, hedge against inflation, slash debasement? This would seem to be common knowledge and, well, math. I'm reading this and I'm like, this is someone, again, who writes, who contributes to Bloomberg and CNBC and Yahoo Finance. That's another thing about hitting the road and going to tech conferences. You meet people that work at some of the biggest organizations in the world, and you have conversations with them, and you realize, like, a lot of these people are no smarter than you, right? I know a lot of us suffer with, what's the word I'm looking for, or the phrase that I'm looking for? Imposter syndrome. A lot of people suffer with imposter syndrome. It's a real thing. But sometimes when you hear the thoughts, and that's the beautiful thing about, say, a Nostr or a Twitter, is people put their thoughts out there and you say, wow. Because here's the thing about what Samantha says. There are 21 million Bitcoin, right? And you can break Bitcoins down into Satoshis, right? Every Bitcoin is 100 million Satoshis. But the problem is this. Let's just say, for argument's sake, I have a pizza, which is 8 slices, right? Then I take a slice of that pizza and I break that one slice down into 50 other slices. Does that mean I'm adding more pizza, or do I still have an 8-slice pizza? Because you can break something down into smaller units doesn't do anything. doesn't change how much you have. It just means you're breaking something down into a smaller unit. I'm reading this and I'm like, yeah, math. I can break things down further. It still will only ever be what it's going to be. I'm not adding more Bitcoin by now just looking at it in the units of sats. If I have a gallon of milk and I want to break it down into ounces, I still have a gallon of milk. I'm just breaking it down into ounces. Like, this is, to me, this is common knowledge and math. So the point I'm making, when you see things like this, understand, we are still early, and some of these people, and this is a great thing I like about Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't care about your degrees. It doesn't care about the institutions that you represent, because it exposes a lot of things. And no disrespect to Samantha. Shout out to Samantha. Do your thing, because I could care less about you. But I'm just saying, like, this is an interesting post from someone who, you know, a lot of times, again, Corey and I wrote a book called Own Your Time and Space. Amazing body of work. You can go to ownyourtimeandspace.com to get our book. But one of the things that Corey talks about in the book is, when you work for a specific institution, or you say you go to a specific college, we assign time to that. The time it took to get into that institution or that college. Sometimes when people work for institutions or and represent said institutions, we give a value to their thoughts. And when you really break it down, all of us are allowed to have thoughts. We're allowed to get information and create thoughts. But this just makes no sense, Samantha. Like, if I have a gallon of milk and I want to break it down in ounces, I still have a gallon of milk. If I have Bitcoin, I want to break it down into Satoshis, I still have the same amount of Bitcoin. So scarcity is there. Debasement, all those things still exist. So just understand, if you're listening to this or watching this, we're still early. When people have thoughts like this and don't get some very, to me, common knowledge and, well, math. All right, now, another tweet, Mike Alfred. Right. So yesterday, Bitcoin took a dip. I am recording this on Sunday, the 14th, to drop on the 15th, by the way. So who knows what price will be by the time this comes out. But for me, I don't even care about price. Don't look at it. But I knew yesterday, because of my timeline, that Bitcoin was taking a dip from, like, 69.70 into the low 60s. So Mike says, I know a guy who sold all his Bitcoin at 61,666 because Iran was apparently very serious about destroying Israel this time, and that global nuclear warfare was inevitable. Now, he's in a state of panic as BTC has bounced back to 65,000, and he doesn't know what to do. Scary. By the way, this tweet is from at Mike Alfred, at MikeAlfred. So he's talking about a guy he knows who sold. So yesterday, Iran was shooting missiles at Israel. People got scared. The price dropped, and it bounce right back. Bitcoin is resilient, as I said in the previous episode. Also, something else to think about, right, as we are looking forward to everything happening with Bitcoin. This is from Oliver Velez, who's a trader. He's been trading for 40 plus years. I've seen some of his content on YouTube, but this comes from Twitter. He says, there is a new batch of spot BTC ETFs coming to market from Asia, Hong Kong to be exact. Many don't understand the huge significance of this. Let me try to explain with just two basic facts. Number one, the top 0.001% of wealth holders in Hong Kong possess close to 10% of the world's total wealth, which is one of the highest levels of wealth concentration in the world. Number two, additionally, Hong Kong ranks second globally in terms of average wealth per adult, with an average USD $489,260, significantly higher than the global average. Saying that this is a small deal because it's not the US is an uninformed view. Your BTC is being shaken from you this very moment for Asia's wealthy to get in as early as next week. If you are selling Bitcoin before the halving, before the most parabolic year of all, which is the year after the halving, you are a bozo, clown, plain and simple. If you are selling before Asia, Hong Kong joins the race for BTC, you're just a level of dumb. No one will ever be able to fix. Hashtag stack harder. And I thought this was interesting because there is a Hong Kong ETF that people believe will be approved within the next week or so, maybe next 2 weeks. And a lot of times when this happens, you'll see the price drop. And what he's saying is markets are being manipulated so those people can get in at a specific price. And I just thought this was funny, too, because, again, the thing about BTC is it's not something you trade in and out of. If you're a stacker, which is why the show is Stack Sats or Die Trying, it's not Buy Sats or Trade Sats or Die Trying. The thing about stacking is you have to be in position for the swings up, right? This happens in the stock market a lot of times, right? I don't know the exact number. I don't have it in front of me, but I've read several times about when you look at how the market performs over a long period of time, there you can literally break it down into a certain number of days, right? So let's just say for argument's sake, the stock market is up 10% for the year. That 10% probably was accumulated within a couple of weeks. If you're not in the market during those weeks and you miss those weeks, you won't get the upswing that everybody else is having, which is why the idea of dollar cost averaging tends to work. This also applies to BTC. When BTC goes parabolic, you have to be in the game, right? So this goes into Mike Alfred's thing about his friend selling out and then things jump right back up, right? So again, interesting times that we are in, but this is just further proof that we are still early. People have no idea how early we are, but we are early. Listen, for those that are in the area, right? I just came back from Charlotte, but I would say back on the road, but this is a home game. April 19th and 20th, there's a Cash Value Wealth Builders Conference. It's a finance conference, and I will be speaking at the conference. I'm bringing it up to you guys because this drops on Monday. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, want to come to the Philadelphia area, make sure you get a ticket. You want to get a ticket, hit me up. I'll show you how to get a ticket. And, you know, it's April 19th through the 20th. It's at the Airport Marriott in Philadelphia. The topic of my talk for this conference is Bitcoin is real estate. So I'm speaking about land and real estate, two things I care most about. So be in the area, you know, come up. I'm going to have information that you may have seen some on this show, but it's a lot of information you may not have seen because I put together something specific for this conference. And of course, I'm going to be talking about Bitcoin. Of course, I'm going to be, you know, juxtaposing it to real estate and also the value of real estate. Those are the things I love to talk about. And that's what I will be talking about. But again, remember, get information, be able to make decisions and change your mind. And we are still early. And last but not least, this reminded me, this whole presentation I put together and this conversation about getting new information reminded me of the God, Muhammad Ali. He said, a man who views the world at 50, the same as he did at 20, has wasted 30 years of his life. I'm going to repeat that. The man who views the world at 50, the same as he did at 20, has wasted 30 years of his life. This is so true. Rest in power to Muhammad Ali. But what's interesting to me about this is I grew up in the city in Philadelphia, and sometimes I come across folks that I grew up with. And it's interesting how some people have evolved and moved to a different place And some people still have conversations about things we did when we were 13, 14, 12 years old. And they haven't really got past that. And, you know, Nas has a song called Second Childhood. I think about that often. Like sometimes people really be in a second and third childhood and haven't got new information, haven't been able to grow. And again, I love everybody, so I don't disparage them or disrespect them. But I want to spend my time around people who helped me grow and give me new information and just help me become a better person. Right. So, you know, just be careful of who you spend your time around. But also you have to have an open mind as well, because someone may come in your life with new information, and because you're focused on this one thing, you may miss that information. So don't be that person at all. We all want to evolve, grow. And as this pertains to Bitcoin, it's also about getting new information and getting new perspectives on Bitcoin. I've talked to people. I mentioned this in an earlier episode. For some people I've talked to, and they talk about Bitcoin, and for them, Bitcoin is cash. Bitcoin is a currency. And it makes sense. Their way of looking at it makes sense. I've talked to others who view it as a form of property, right? Different from cash. They're not wrong either. For some people, it acts as their insurance. They're not wrong either. For some people, it acts as their investment. And again, investment, cash, property aren't all what they can be different things. So Bitcoin is different things to different people. So although I focus primarily on Bitcoin, or only Bitcoin as it pertains to this specific asset class, there's still a lot of information that I don't know, more knowledge I want to get, more perspectives I'm trying to see. I'm not really into trading the asset, so I don't care about, like, you know, squiggly lines on your chart. But I do care about and love to see how what's happening from a macroeconomic standpoint can affect price. That is of interest to me. Also of interest to me is how this technology can be used to empower people. That is of interest to me. There's a lot of information about that. And again, you have to have a global perspective to see that. A lot of times here in the States, we have, you know, matured banking systems, although fractional reserve banking itself is a problem. It's for another episode. But we don't think about across the world how other banking systems operate, how people have had their money debased and just stolen from them, and how this technology is literally saving lives. Because for us, it's just like, you know, something kind of outside of the system, something else we have besides the rest of our investments for a lot of us. For some of us, we are all in on this and have nothing else. So, but if you have a global perspective, there's so much to learn about Bitcoin. And like I said before, Bitcoin can teach you a lot about life if you are open to doing that. If you go down the rabbit hole, now you want to know, what is the basement? Why must I prevent that from happening to my money or my value? You know, how does it happen? What is the history of this? Why is this something that we deal with? Why is inflation necessary? Is it necessary? I've always been told inflation is necessary. So you start asking these questions and doing more reading, and, you know, it can teach you a lot about life, but you have to be open to getting new information. A couple books that I'll recommend is like The Creature from Jekyll Island is one of the books that I would like to recommend if you guys have never read, by Edward Griffin. Matter of fact, I'm gonna leave it at that one book on this episode. If you wanna look up The Creature from Jekyll Island, it's a pretty interesting book, but it gives you a lot of information and perspective. So make sure to check that out if you haven't, The Creature from Jekyll Island. But with that being said, though, you know, I want to tell everybody, listen, keep giving me feedback. I want you to, you know, get in the comment section and tell me, are you open to new information, right? Do you actually go and take the time to study and get new information and then see if, you know, your mind has changed on something? Or are you someone that's like, I'm just closed, I'm just doing this one thing and this is what I'm doing? And also, How recent have you got into Bitcoin, if you are into Bitcoin at all? Do you stack sats? Because again, the other part of this is we are still relatively early. People have no idea how early we are, right? I laugh because I'm like, to me, any sat that I get below 100 grand, I'm getting on sale. I do believe that eventually we'll hit 100 grand, whether it's late this year or next year. So right now, as I buy sats, I'm not thinking about, man, next week is going to be this. I just zoom out. And I think about the sats I buy today, what will they be worth in 10 years, right? Because the sats that I was buying at 15,000. I thought I was overpaying for them, and now I'm looking like, man, you know, life is good. I tell you, life is good, man. Life's amazing. So are you stacking sats? How long have you been stacking sats? And are you open to new information? I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about. So with that being said, give me the feedback. Share this episode out. And let me know some other things you'd like to talk about. I have been getting your messages about the various wallets, and I am working on that. And it will be coming soon. And I've also been trying to line up some guests for Stack Sats, like outside of our regular show. There's some folks within the Bitcoin space. So we'll see some of that coming in the future, man. But I definitely appreciate you guys for all the love and support you've shown thus far to continue to grow this specific show. It's all love. Check us out Monday, Stack Sats at Die Trying. Wednesday, the Vibe at Hood Personal Finance Pod. Friday, we are live at 7 p.m. Missed last Friday because I was traveling back into the city. But this Friday, we'll be back. Matter of fact, let me not say that now because I got to see when I go on at the conference, right? Because if I go on the conference Friday evening, I'm not sure yet. I'll check on that. But every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, you generally find us on our live. Doing what we do, doing our Bitcoin giveaway. We do give away Bitcoin every week. That's part of our, you know, our marching orders. Our thing is to spread the word, you know, orange pill as many people as possible, and continuously grow this thing, man. So with that being said, see y'all on our next episode. Remember, always stack sats or die trying. Peace.